Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The other week, I was probably a couple weeks ago, I was in the doctor's office. I can't remember exactly which trip it was, but I was looking around for something to do, and of course I saw the stacks of magazines that are around, so I picked up Golf Digest, mainly because I was hoping that something would fix my golf game for this upcoming spring-summer season, because we're just starting to get into spring. Of course, as I'm looking through the magazine, I realize there's nothing going to save my golf game. But it was interesting because I picked up some information that made me think a little bit. See, scattered throughout the magazine were all these like little sections labeled pro tip. The idea that a professional tip, something that if you took and implemented into your golf game was going to make you a better golfer. These professional tips from guys who are absolute stellar athletes on the golf course. But it kind of got me thinking we could all use some pro tips in our life. Because when it comes to life, we don't have an instruction manual with how we're supposed to go about things. Yeah, of course, we can look to the Bible for guidance and stuff, but sometimes mining that information out and figuring some of that stuff out can be rather difficult. And so as I was reflecting on our epistle lesson today, I actually remembered a pro tip that I read a long time ago in my junior year in high school, and I actually recorded, I copied down, had to look through, I keep a big notebook of all these different quotes that I found about life, about theology, these type of things. And this quote was from Ralph Waldo Emerson. I think this is a pro tip that is bound to make your life actually better right now if you actually think it through and take it to heart. Although I don't agree with everything that Emerson wrote, he was right here. He said, "Do you know that for every minute that you are angry with someone, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind?" I know, a radical idea that you give up 60 seconds of peace for every minute that you're angry. But it is so true in our world today that anger really can destroy us. In fact, biblically speaking, anger almost always, every single time, destroys. Anger is something that is turned outward. It never stays inside. It always goes outward. So it can destroy us from the inside, but it can also destroy those around us. That's the problem with anger. Anger always destroys. And most importantly, does anger destroy us from the inside, from kind of health conditions, right? You can literally be so angry, so upset, so anxious, so worried, so any of these type of things, that it will literally start making physical ailments in your body. I've gone through some of those myself. Just not so long ago, I actually spent almost an entire month on a heart monitor because I had physical ailments from my emotional state. It can destroy you from the inside. But it can also destroy us not just from the inside, but our actions can destroy us from the outside as well. There was this week a case, and I was reading it in some news article, that this judge from Florida, this female judge from Florida, I think Ehrlich was her name. I don't know how to pronounce it. She was so angry with a defendant in her courtroom because the defendant wanted a breathing treatment. She was so angry with her and thought that she was playing her and all these things that she gave her this nasty verbal outburst. The judge just destroyed the defendant there. And then like 2 days later or something like that, the lady died. And the judge, of course, lost her job, was forced into retirement because the anger and the viciousness that came out. They could no longer trust her as a justice of the peace because of that outburst. And so this changed her life. It destroyed her life. And of course, that same anger that she displayed out there also affected the defendant. Our anger can actually come out in physical ways and hurt people. It can come out in verbal ways and destroy people as well. Anger rarely stays bottled up inside. It comes out when we seek to hurt or harm or destroy our neighbor and his body and his mind and his reputation or any of these type of things. Anger always seems to destroy. It always seems to tear down. When anger is allowed to dwell within us for any length of time, right, it becomes ungodly. It creates filthiness and wickedness, is what James writes for us in our epistle reading. And this idea of filthiness and wickedness are two sides of the same coin. Filthiness has to do with the inside of you. The inside is filthy. But wickedness is something that's acted out. And so in anger, we become filthy inside, and we act that out in our wickedness and our deeds. And other very shameful thoughts and actions can contribute to that filthiness and to that wickedness. So serious is the problem of anger that the Bible addresses it over and over again. Read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, and anger comes out over and over and over again. Jesus talks a lot about anger in Matthew chapter 5. When you realize that you have anger, don't tell your brother you fool, but go be reconciled to your brother. James, of course, talks about it in this chapter, but also in chapter 3 of his epistle. And Paul talks about anger all over the place as being a root for other evils. Anger is such a powerful emotion in our life, like love and joy and laughter. It's such an important and powerful emotion in our lives that it can literally take over our lives, just like any emotion can. But there's something insidious about anger. It seeps in there and it just absolutely destroys everything. But James alludes today in our epistle lesson that it destroys something even more important in the life of the Christian. You see, in your anger, you actually start to destroy the very implanted Word of God that is in your hearts and your minds. It makes you forget about the Word of God and the gospel promises of Jesus Christ. So serious is that problem, as I said, that maybe you even shirked a little bit at the words that came out. That James writes, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." You see, that's what anger does. It steals that holiness. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness means holiness. And it steals that holiness from our lives because it steals that implanted Word of God. It robs us of the truth of God's Word. How? How is that? You're like, "Well, Pastor, I get angry with people, but I still know about God's Word." But you see, the problem is that in our anger, we actually get a little bit of the truth of God's Word distorted, especially when we're angry with other people. Because now we're not actually looking at the other person through the eyes of Jesus. And we don't actually hear that gospel promise that the person that you are angry with, Jesus Christ suffered and died for. In our anger, we lose the truth. We lose sight of what Jesus has done, not just for you, but for that other person as well. That the other person that we're angry with, and yes, there's many reasons that we might think we're rightfully angry or hurt by other people. But then all of a sudden we start to not view them anymore as a child of God. We view them as an enemy, and we turn that Word of God around. Especially in our lives as Christians here in the church, we will turn baptized believers in Jesus Christ into our own personal enemies, and that is the cause of division within the church. So some might say, well, Pastor, look here, James does say, be slow to anger, right? So that means I get to be angry sooner or later, right? I get to be angry when, you know, I've been slow to anger. I've really prayed about this. I've really thought about this. Now I'm just angry with the person. So what does it mean to be slow to anger? I read another great quote from a Christian author this time, an ancient Christian author. He wrote that it's as slow as it takes for you to realize that the other person is somebody that Christ died for, that Christ gave his blood for. It's as slow as it takes for you to realize what the anger actually does to you as it robs the truth of God's word in your life. Now, if someone was going to rob you right up front and you knew it was coming, you knew somebody was going to break into your house today, you'd call the police, you'd arm yourself, you'd barricade your house, you know all these things are coming, and so you do anything and everything to prevent it from happening. Right? If we had absolute, conclusive proof that a major robbery was going to happen at our house, we would take steps to prevent it. So what happens then, and why do we act differently when that emotion of anger comes into our lives? Why do we allow that thief that will steal that implanted Word of God to just waltz right in? And in fact, open the doors for it and embrace it? You see, it's as we prayed in our collect today. We prayed that God will give us a love for what He commands and desire so that our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Namely, that joy that's found in the forgiveness of sins, one for you and for the other person. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my friends, when we are in anger and conflict with somebody else, we have to remember to restrain our anger and remember what Christ Himself did for us. Because Christ has every right to be angry with you. And He has every right to be angry with me. He has every right to be angry with every single individual person in this world. He had every right to throw the sins of the people back in their face as they led Him off to the cross. He had every right to be angry at the injustice, at the lies, at everything that was thrown at Him. And yet He opened not His mouth. Instead, what He said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus would not let anger destroy His love for you and I. And your Savior still loves you from that very blood that He shed for you, so that you can have love and forgiveness for the other person as well. Now, my friends, what's left for you to do? Are you angry? Has anger eaten you alive? Then go be reconciled. What does that mean to be reconciled? We use that word every now and then in church. What does it mean to be reconciled? That means to go confess to your brother and sister in Christ. And notice I use that word confess. That means you're going to confess your anger, your wrongdoings, those things, but you're not going to confess the sins of the other person. That's for them to confess. But when you go and let them know your sins, you ask for forgiveness and you begin that process of healing and reconciliation, the same process that was won for you on the cross. By asking for forgiveness, by restoring the relationship, by ending the conflict, go talk to them. Confess your sins and rejoice in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Because while anger destroys, the gospel of Jesus, His forgiveness, rebuilds and it brings joy. Have you been angered by somebody's words, deeds, or actions? Be prepared to forgive. Be prepared to confess your sins and hear of forgiveness for you, so that your hearts and that your minds may be fixed on the forgiveness won for you by Jesus. Now, could you imagine, just for a moment, a church where that is how we all dealt with anger? Instead of getting mad and slandering, instead of complaining, instead of talking in the aisles with it at different stores about other people, rather than tearing each other down, destroying the body, getting physically upset with people, what if instead we stopped? And it was about God and what God's relationship to us and that other person was. Imagine the church that lets God's forgiveness between us rebuild our lives together. Because indeed, He's already done that for you, friends. He's already begun that rebuilding process. He has already begun to rebuild in you, in your baptism, in each and every sermon and scripture reading as we are growing in Christ together, in every absolution. And every Lord's Supper received, He is building in you that faith which He freely gives out to you and to your brother and sister. The Holy Spirit in these things works on your life so that He can build you up into His holy temple, which can never be torn down. As bonds of anger are broken and we are built back up into His forgiveness for one another. That's the power of forgiveness. The destruction of anger. And it also leads into our prayer, "Come soon, Lord Jesus." Amen.